The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Gradually, and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
A regional election with explosive potential. Voters in the small East German state, Saxony-Anhalt, are heading to the polls, and the result could trigger a political earthquake in Germany. A victory for the Alternative for Germany could usher in the first far-right government in Germany's post-war history. The AfD candidate Ulrich Siegmund's campaign promises to stop migration, pursue closer ties with Russia, and put Germany first are resonating with voters in the economically depressed state. Polls predict the AfD will win 40% of the votes, and an absolute majority is not out of the question. So we're asking, the far right's rise, is Germany at a breaking point?
Is Germany at a breaking point? There's more to come. It just so happens Richard Palmer, he's going to be subbing in on Monday's show, recording it, I think, Sunday night, after some of the exit polls turn in numbers. So look forward to Monday's show to follow this story that really should be getting headlines everywhere. It's as I was just thinking about the cold open and some of the other stories I have. Maria Bartiromo, she gets fired from Fox because she was looking into the stolen election. And the higher up said, no, you can't go there. You cannot cover that. Then another one on AI, just like this issue of the Trumpet says, we are all in. Sam Altman, he's out there saying, no, it's non-negotiable. You've got to go all in. This is like building electrical grids 100 years ago. You have to do it. Everybody has to do it. Excuse me. Let me just give you one quote before I get to the Germany story. OpenAI, Anthropic, and more than 100 other companies. This is Altman had an interview, I guess, with Axios. More than 100 other companies warned that time is running out to prepare for AI-enabled attacks on critical infrastructure. We've already seen it happen in some cases. And in some cases, just running on its own. Critical infrastructure? These are the things we have to go all in on? And then meanwhile, you've got Germany at a breaking point. But, you know, that's ho-hum. It's just an election. Germany going far to the right hasn't happened, as you heard from that report. Hasn't happened since the end of World War II. Where is this world headed? I covered earlier in the week, a world descending into chaos. That's the direction. And like Mr. Armstrong said in those classic clips we just played, people don't believe Bible prophecy. Jesus prophesied of a chaotic time in the world just before he returns to this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. The last show of the week, you can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or the Rumble channel, the YouTube channel. It's Friday. That means we've got World Watch lined up for the last bit of the program. You can look forward to that. This New York Times piece, at least the New York Times covered it, okay? But so many of the things that get discussed when they're really meaningless, not newsworthy at all, and then other things that are discussed. It's really comical to watch. Here we're going all in on this mysterious technology that is so powerful that can destroy nations. Nations are already racing to win the AI war. And then Germany's at a breaking point. And there's other things in Europe, the whole continent. There's unrest all around still with Sueda. And then the German economy, so many people unhappy. The reason they're going with AFD is because they're unhappy about the mass immigration. It's a world of instability. You see it everywhere. The far right party, the AFD, is set to make a major breakthrough, this says, New York Times. Saxony-Anhalt, a former East German state of around 2 million people, is relatively small, but the significance of the election there on Sunday could be seismic. The AFD is on track to win overwhelmingly and perhaps even secure an overall majority, which would mean that it could form a state government for the first time in its history. The article points out how it's been long confined to the opposition party, and now it's moving in the direction of majority. This article says that it's got deep ties. Well, I'll just read it. What makes the AFD's rise especially shocking is that it's much more extreme than other European far-right parties that are either already in power, like Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy, or could be soon, like Marine Le Pen's National Rally. Whereas those parties have sought in some ways to detoxify and moderate themselves, the AFD has become more radical over time, deepening its ties to neo-Nazis and promising to repatriate migrants. As it has done so, it has grown more popular. As it has deepened its ties to neo-Nazis, it's becoming more popular. We're probably about the only Western outlet that even is somewhat concerned about this. Well, of course, we are because of prophecy. That's what you're not going to get at the New York Times, obviously. A little bit from Deutsche Welle, a few articles here and there, and that's about it. These are earth-shaking developments. We recorded a Life and Teachings episode this morning, played a 7-minute montage of all that's happened since 9/11. It's sobering. If you just go right down the line, look at the calendar, and it's amazing how easy it is for us to just drift into a state of complacency, to not be jolted. Well, when 9/11 happened, a lot of people were jolted, but then, you know, time passes and you don't see as many of the videos about the carnage that day, people jumping from buildings to their death. All the firemen and police officers that died trying to save people. And then the mini mushroom cloud that descended over lower Manhattan. And then what about what followed? 20-some years. The war, the so-called war against terrorism. How'd that work out for the United States? In Iraq, in Afghanistan. And here we are. It's like Melanie Phillips said, if I can fast forward, bear with me. She says, why are the people that are extremists, the radicals, why are they having so much success? So many victories. October 7 was just 3 years ago. She says, why do so many vicious and dangerous extremists seem to be on a winning streak while sensible, decent, middling folk are being left forlornly nursing their bruises? How do you explain this? How come the extremists, who by definition are a minority of the public, are able to call the shots? She says the reason can be found in a line in The Second Coming of all things. That's the title of this poem. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. It's a similar point that my father makes in one of his booklets, that if people can get so passionate about a system, in this case, the Holy Roman Empire, that's caused so much destruction and death and carnage, if people can get so excited about a movement like that, can God's people get a little bit more excited about the truth? Can God's people become a little bit more convicted of the truth? This book that my father just produced, The Father's Love, An Urgent Message for His Sons, Both Faithful and Prodigal. This is what the world needs. This is what lukewarm Christians need to return to God. The latest cover headline says, are you running from God? We all have, to some extent, my father has said this before too, we all have a Jonah complex. We all want to run. We all want to run away from responsibility. You read stories like this and you think, what road are we traveling on here? 25 years on from 9/11, and I mean the United States unleashed a lot of firepower. We were going to stamp it out. All the terrorist movements, the sponsors of terror. Melanie Phillips says here, conservatives don't understand what the left and the Islamists understand all too well, that the democratic process offers a route to seize power from good people whose lack of conviction makes them unable to grasp what's being taken away from them by the worst people. Until it's too late. So again, what if bad people get control of artificial intelligence? Nobody's even pausing to think on that. It's not even worth a Selah moment. And so we go all in. All the chips are on the table. Everybody's going with AI. Germany's at a breaking point. Unrest all over the world. And then, oh yeah, we have an arms race. We are racing to war, and that's the way Jesus Christ said it would be in the last days. It's amazing how much talk there is about Jesus Christ. It's a popular topic. Joe Rogan, others, they're very curious. And of course, the discussion's always very intellectual, and you don't really detect a lot of submission or repentance. But it's popular to talk about now. So we get talk about Jesus. Well, what did the disciples of Christ talk to Jesus about in that final week of his first century ministry? They were talking to him. They were asking him questions about the last days. What's going to be the sign of your coming, your second coming? So obviously, Luke 21 and Matthew 24, it's for our time. There was a first century type that played out with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But Jesus, when he laid it out there in the Olivet prophecy, he was just talking to a handful of disciples. It says they came to him privately and said, let us know. You've said we're going to be leaders in the world tomorrow. So we want to know what we're getting into and what we need to prepare for. here are two parties. Well, it's talking about the squabbling that's going on between the AfD and Merz's party. And there's a lot of angles to this story, as there is with just about every story we cover. Karl zu Guttenberg, he comes out of the CDU, I believe. So how this is going to play out, where the Daniel Eightman is going to emerge from, or what party, we don't know all the details there. But look, if major parties, or what were minor parties, become major parties because they've got stronger ties to neo-Nazis, it seems like that should set off a few alarm bells. Instead, you've got, if Maria Bartiromo looks into the election of 2020, you know how that went down when President Trump came out with all those statements about China's involvement and the cheating and everything, and nobody covered it. They just blotted it out. And this is Fox News. If they don't like it, it shows you how powerful these radical forces are. I mean, they work with conviction. They intimidate. They seize power. They go for power. And like Melanie Phillips asks, how come just the simple, ordinary, good people, quote unquote, why aren't they having more conviction or claiming more victories? Well, God said he would send Jeroboam back to save America temporarily. Temporarily. And he can't even discuss the election steal of 2020. Like this video we played, 7 minutes from 9/11, you know, to the global shutdown pretty much in 2008. Well, we had that financially. I mean, then you had the actual global shutdown in 2020. You had all the Obama years, the fundamental transformation, blotting out even the name, if possible. And then President Trump, the miracle of him coming into office, and then all the lawfare, the assassination attempts. And now you've got the unrest in Europe. And you've got the race to build a military machine. And then all of this technology that we don't even know the power of. Artificial intelligence. And there's a few voices talking about how dangerous this is. But you're not getting it the way that you should without Bible prophecy. Make sure you subscribe to our Trumpet magazine so that you can follow the news, so that you can know tomorrow's news today. This New York Times article, something alarming is about to happen in Germany. It says here, it was around this point that the AfD overtook the Christian Democrats in the polls for the first time. I'm talking about, I think, with Merz in 2025. Germany's remilitarization has also been disastrous in another way. Further on, it says this has allowed the AfD to present itself as the party of peace, not unlike the way that President Trump positioned himself in opposition to the forever wars undertaken by American Democrats and Republicans alike. We've tried everything, haven't we? We are trying everything still. It says two more regional elections later this month are likely to produce further advances for the AfD. Let me just refer you again to the headline. You see it there. Something alarming is happening. This is from Deutsche Welle, clip two.
There's this Germany first rhetoric coming out of the AfD.
Around 1.7 million eligible voters will decide the future of education, security and immigration in the eastern German state of Saxony-Anhalt. The right-wing AfD is comfortably ahead in all polls and could perhaps even govern alone. Its platform is radical and right-wing. Our country first is a demand repeatedly voiced by lead candidate Ulrich Siegmund. On migration, the party takes a hardline stance, calling for a remigration offensive, meaning the large-scale deportation of people from Germany and from Saxony-Anhalt.
Deport them. That's becoming a popular party, a popular agenda point for that party. It's too much. The doors have been wide open. We got to stop this. And again, at the trumpet, we have been on this from the beginning. You know where it's leading. All it needs, it's as I've said so many times, quoting or paraphrasing my father, it's just an empire that needs its emperor. And when it gets the emperor, then look out. These alarming developments, they should be setting off alarm bells. As I say, it's perfect timing to have Mr. Palmer subbing in on Monday's show, and hopefully he'll get enough information Sunday night to give you the very latest on that Labor Day episode of the Trumpet Daily. Skip it. One last thing from Deutsche Welle. You can skip ahead to number 4.
Yeah, people, I think, are just fed up with the promises that don't seem to be fulfilled, and they want change, especially the issue of migration, which is such a big issue for a lot of people. The established parties in Germany don't really seem to have an answer.
It's a big issue for a lot of people, and there's more and more protests in Spain because of all that happened in Ceuta. Play this from News 24, clip 10.
Spain is in crisis. Yes, the illegal immigration chaos in Ceuta is causing ongoing issues for the city's locals, with reports of sexual violence against women coming to light by the day. And as much as the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, and his government are trying to ignore the issue, Spanish citizens are only getting angrier and louder about the illegal invasion that's coming. And whilst the protests were largely peaceful, opposing groups took out their frustrations with the government and police after dark.
A peaceful protest on the streets has now suddenly turned into violence and chaos. You can see here behind me, they're throwing things at the police.
Meanwhile, at the heart of this crisis in Ceuta, locals continue to clash with illegal Moroccans who refuse to leave, according to the Daily Mail.
Ceuta is on the verge of disaster, with the worst of the worst still in the enclave. Officials have warned. The small city is reeling under pressure 1 month after more than 70,000 migrants stormed in. Although most have now returned to Morocco, between 3,500 and 7,000 remain in the Spanish enclave, with many making shanty towns on the beach. Law enforcement say the city is experiencing daily bouts of violence, including attacks against the military and dozens of sexual assaults. Locals' fury has also been boiling over, with groups storming migrant camps and even setting them on fire.
That's Europe's doorstep right there. And people aren't happy. Unrest. There's plenty to go around, isn't there? A world descending into chaos. What a time to go to sleep spiritually, or to run from God. Now's the time to be running back to God, to get back on track, to turn to God for answers, to turn to the Father's love. God's trying to get our attention. God's reaching out to us. He may be reaching out to you through this book right here you see on the screen. We have copies, by the way. They are in, if you want to request your free copy at the website or call our operators, however it is that you can get a hold of that book. It's a powerful, sobering study, for sure. Play one more from, this is Australia, Australian News 24, clip 11.
I have no desire to be alarmist or overly dramatic, but I'm sorry, somebody has to ask the question, is Europe heading for civil war? Will the disastrous globalist immigration policies of Angela Merkel, who must surely go down in history as one of the worst leaders the continent has ever seen, and that's saying something, will her disastrous immigration policies end, as Enoch Powell predicted decades ago, in rivers of blood?
Rivers of blood. My father in his writings has talked about reviving Charlemagne, or the spirit of Charlemagne, who waded through rivers of blood, because that system, that Holy Roman Empire, caused so much death and carnage, so much violence, religious wars, rivers of blood, alarm bells going off in Germany. These are just some of the headlines. Social unrest in Spain or wherever. This one from Deutsche Welle, Volkswagen to cut 100,000 jobs by the end of the decade. That's the German automobile giant laying off 100,000 jobs by the end of this decade. The biggest restructuring ever seen in the global car industry. So there's going to be more for German voters to be upset about in the months and years ahead. The total cuts, 100,000 cuts, amount to about 15% of Volkswagen staff worldwide. This eclipses the 50,000 job cuts GM made after it declared bankruptcy in 2009. These are earth-shaking developments. Voters are unhappy. Unrest is everywhere. The world's descending into chaos. That was basically our reaction to 9/11 25 years ago. This should be a sobering wake-up call. In fact, it was for a handful of people that contacted God's church and said, I've been running from God. And then I saw those two towers come down. That anniversary is it's a week from today. And then the Feast of Trumpets is the day after that anniversary. 25 years of 9/11, or since 9/11. And then what? Trillions and trillions of dollars dumped into Iraq, Afghanistan. Now war rages with Iran. October 7 was 3 years ago. There's another anniversary. Why are these religious extremists having so much success? How do you explain this? More cuts than GM had back in the financial collapse. Remember that in 2008 and 9 when the world was just hanging by a thread economically? There were stories about that, and we quoted them on this program. It should have been a wake-up call, but was it? And then the dear leader comes in. He promises to fundamentally transform the United States, and people just viewed that period as, well, this is wonderful. He's going to heal. He's going to heal the divide between races. He's going to be a law and order man. He is a smooth talker. Look at how long it took people to wake up to what was really happening there. Human nature is willing to be duped or to turn a blind eye to something that's so obviously dangerous or wrong. All in on the AI gamble. This is that Axios piece. Sam Altman's sobering siren. So here's another one of these AI creators. And you know, it's very measured what he says. Like, on the one hand, you got to go all in. You have to, or you'll be left behind. Now, I will say, there are some dangers here. Take our word for it that we have much, much, much more capable models coming soon, Altman said Wednesday during a measured interview. The next generation of models are going to be sobering for everybody. I think no one intellectually honest can look at what's happening and not feel the weight of responsibility in front of us. It's weighty. It's sobering. It's dangerous. And we have to do it. We have to. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going along. What does the Bible say about following a multitude into sin? And why are there so few voices crying out? Well, Isaiah 40 says that Mr. Armstrong was a lone voice, and he often said it was like a voice in the wilderness of religious confusion. Okay, if we're going to talk about Jesus, how about reading through Matthew 24 or Luke 21 or the companion passage in Revelation 6? What's Christ inspired that? The four horsemen of the apocalypse. What does that have to do with today's world? What is the first horse symbolizing religious deception? Why has that caused so much trouble for this world, historically and today? People ought to be studying these passages of the Bible. New Testament, prophecy. A third of your Bible's prophecy. Listen to this. This is in an interview that Altman had during the G20, clip 8.
Many of you are going to take very different approaches to how you regulate AI, how you welcome it into your country, how you use it. But for sure, I think it is non-negotiable that you have to use it. The economic growth and benefit to people that can come from this, the value to a country is too high to ignore.
So you use the term, I want to sort of flush it out a bit, non-negotiable. Can you maybe help everybody understand what you mean about that and what that means for each of our partner ministers who are here today with us?
Again, I'm biased. I'm trying to talk my book here. Forgive me for this analogy. I think it would be approximately as bad of an idea to say we're not going to have AI in our country as it was to say we're not going to have electricity in our country, you know, back 100 plus years ago. I think this is something at that level. This is something that every person and every business and really the entire machine of society is going to need to deliver the quality of life that your citizens should demand. Now, electricity also came with some complexities, and it took a little while for us to figure out how to make it safe. But we made fairly rapid progress as a society to make it generally pretty safe, even though it can do a lot of bad things.
What a gamble. That's exactly what the trumpet cover is all about. A total gamble. I gave you that quote last week or week before about how the U.S., because it's broke, $40 trillion in debt, it is banking everything on AI, bailing us out. It's going to be such a moneymaker. It's just going to, our debt's going to evaporate. We'll be entering into a golden age. All the chips are on the table for the U.S., its economy. And this is from the Axios piece. Altman, that's the guy you just saw there, facing scrutiny over a shocking breach by a swarm of OpenAI agents that went rogue during testing and hacked the AI company Hugging Face, sees a new normal in which companies like his will have to slow releases so their controls can catch up with their model's capability. That we have to make sure we let the controls catch up. You read between the lines. You're seeing a wild, wild west without regulation. And what happens if it falls into some really evil hands that are, you know, people that are very convicted, people that want to use it for destructive purposes, to destroy nations? We want the whole global economy to succeed, Altman added. Listen to this and see if it does it make you feel comfortable and secure? We just want the whole world to succeed. The whole world's going to benefit. We don't want to be the only company. We don't want to suck up all the value. We do not think that it is good for global stability. This sounds like the Trump approach to foreign policy. Yeah, build a resort on the Gaza Strip, and the whole world will go there. Just fantasy land. What about human nature? Why did Jesus in the Olivet Prophecy talk so much about religious deception and people coming and saying, I'm Christ? In other words, they're coming and talking about Jesus Christ. And the Bible, your Bible, says they're going to deceive many. And they're going to persecute the true saints of God. And they're going to be doing that while they think they're doing God a service. He says, this is Altman, we are very firmly and very proudly on Team Humanity. Okay, it sounds great, doesn't it? Do you feel safe because you're on Team Humanity? What about humanity these past 6,000 years? What have we been noted for? Yes, there's been a lot of development of technology. There's no denying that. But look at how that technology has been used for so much evil. I'm not real comforted by his Team Humanity label. We think that people need to be at the center of the economy and society and global decision making, and that people should run the future, not AI. So listen, there's a lot of wonderful, sincere people behind this technology, and Team Humanity is going to benefit from this. Everyone benefits from it. So says Sam Altman. Here's clip 9.
We want to help. We want to support not just our company, our whole industry. Like, we want to bring this incredible magic of, you know, intelligence in a bottle, education in a bottle, to all of you. I think this is like, this is an incredible moment for the world. What people can do with this and the economic boom that will come with it, the sort of individual increased quality of life. People talk about, you know, medical care and what that means, education, what that means, services that only very rich people used to have access to, and now anybody can have with AI.
Also, we need to slow releases so that the controls can catch up with the model's capability. Yeah, I sure love having people run the show and not the machines. Nothing to worry about here. What did that quote say? I gave it at the start. OpenAI, Anthropic, and more than 100 other companies warned that time is running out to prepare for AI-enabled attacks. 100 other companies. Elon Musk has sounded the alarm. This breach, I got to read it again. Altman facing scrutiny over a shocking breach by a swarm of OpenAI agents that went rogue during testing and hacked an AI company. There were no human beings behind the hack. They went rogue, the bots did. We don't even understand this technology. And here it's just turning our brains to mush, the brains of our young people to mush. And you've got all these stories about British children, you know, depressed on medications. I could spend a whole program on that. So much evil. It's like Mr. Armstrong said, the paradox of our time. Knowledge doubling, and so have our evils doubled. It's obvious. And then when you try to, like in the case of Bartiromo, you try to expose some of it, and she gets fired. She gets fired. Fox News says, listen, you're only going to cover this, or they sent her, basically, a directive saying you can't cover this. And when the Trump people asked her why she wasn't covering it, she forwarded the email, and Fox didn't like it. So there's the feud. That's big media. That's conservative media. And then you got all these podcasters talking about Jesus. And then Altman and his group, they're out there saying AI is the way. So many assurances. So optimistic about the future for Team Humanity. Team Humanity. What does Jesus say about team humanity or the human heart? This is from Richard Palmer's trumpet brief this morning. President Trump declassified intelligence files in July that he said proved China's efforts to manipulate the election in favor of Joe Biden. Most of the media refused to broadcast his July 16th speech on the subject. It still blotted him out. When it comes to the election steal, they still blot it out. You just cannot go there. It was perfect. We told you it was perfect. We don't lie. We only report the truth. That's what major media said. Still say. And if Maria wants to delve into this further, well, she'll have to do it, I guess, independently. So now she's out there independent. You know, and my father's praised her. She's a good journalist. But given some of the other track records, Tucker comes to mind. How long will it be before there's some, you know, deranged thinking and reasoning coming from these high-profile journalists? Look at how easy it is to still tell lies, cover up the truth, stonewall investigations, don't send anyone to jail. It says here, scrutiny of the 2020 elections continues to be blocked by the media, the courts, and even American intelligence services. This is Richard Palmer. A lot of evil actions took place around the 2020 election, and Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury's free book, America Under Attack, exposes the unseen spiritual causes of those actions. And then Richard Palmer says, stories like this reveal how much power those behind the 2020 election steal had, and even with Donald Trump retaking the presidency, they still have it. It's like Melanie Phillips says. How could a minority of people so evil claim so many victories? What happens if a handful of very evil, murderous people get control of all or part of the artificial intelligence world? That seems like it might be something bad for Team Humanity. Team Humanity does not have a really good track record. Team Humanity has what Jesus described in the Olivet Prophecy. Lots of deception, lots of wars, pestilence, famines. CNN, by the way, blamed the flash flooding in Nepal on Orange Hitler. It's Trump's fault. So this is very newsworthy. Plaster that on the CNN website. Meanwhile, yeah, there's some alarm bells going off in Germany, but listen, we're here to tell you what is truly important. Donald Trump, bad. Election steal, bad. Don't cover. Truth fails. That's what the Bible says. This is from something EI News on Bartiromo's departure or firing, clip 5.
Maria Bartiromo is going off air. After more than a decade on Fox Business, parent company Fox Media confirms the anchor departed the network on September 3rd. The company says in a statement shared online, effective today, Maria Bartiromo is no longer with Fox News Media. We thank Maria for her work over the last 12 and a half years and wish her all the best on her next chapter. The statement does not supply a reason for the change, but it notes that the final episode of Bartiromo's daytime series, Mornings with Maria, aired, and that her Fox News show will be hosted by Jason Chaffetz this week, with a permanent replacement to be announced at a later date.
President Trump should hire her as the new White House press secretary and just have her come out every day talking about election steal. Every day. More evidence! Talking to the journalists, the White House press corps. Every day, just putting it right in their face. That's what should happen. At least she had the courage to give it coverage. How can the President of the United States come out with a long speech laying out, here's how they cheated? And again, most of it was not new information, but still, he is the president. And then these people dressed in fine suits they say, nope, he's lying. We're not going to cut. We're going to break away. We've got some other very interesting stories in the works about the impact that Donald Trump is having on the environment, for one thing. That's very, very important for you to know and understand. The fact that these people, so many of them, take themselves so seriously. How, you know, when the wake-up call arrives, when 9/11, many times over, when that happens, we're not going to be able to get lost in some virtual world or some fantasy, make-believe technology when actual bombs are dropping. Look at 9/11. I mean, that was real. Planes flew into those buildings. They were flown by fanatics. They were flown by religious fanatics. And now you've got a religious fanatic who's the mayor of New York City. Happy anniversary. 25 years on. And they're just spreading their influence. You could see it in Europe. You see it in the States. You see it in Canada. I heard one podcaster who said he visited his relatives in Canada recently, and he was born there, grew up there as a boy, and he said, it's a different country. A different country. Canada, America, Spain, Germany, Britain, Ireland, everywhere. It's a world descending into chaos, for sure. And you heard it here first. You got an accurate forecast in the lead up to 9/11. You got one right after 9/11. The trumpet, we've got, 36 years of tomorrow's news today. Before that, you had the plain truth. And you've heard all these clips from Mr. Armstrong that we play frequently just to remind people of God's take on these events. Luke 21, I spent most of my time in Matthew 24 when we did the recent Life and Teachings episode. You'll see that next weekend, but Luke's version, verse 25, it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Team humanity's under some duress and stress, it says. With perplexity. What does that mean? The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. That's not exactly in Sam Altman's forecast for AI. Men's hearts failing for fear. Notice what all this leads into. I'll read it to you from the Bible. Let's talk about Jesus. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming. So that's the way it's going to be right before Jesus returns. And Satan, as the God of this world, is just wanting to blot all of this out and fall for a fantasy land or a fantasy world and assume everything's just going to keep getting better with Team Humanity until, as Melanie Phillips says, until it's too late. At least she's asking some good questions. Why are the fanatics claiming so many victories? And why are the good guys losing so often? And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. For your redemption draws near. You better look up. You better look to God. You better set your mind on the things above, because it would be a grave mistake to put your faith in Team Humanity, in this world, in this present evil world. Take heed to yourselves, verse 34, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The whole earth. It's coming like a snare. And so Christ says in verse 36, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's talking about at his second coming. God says his people are going to need to escape what's coming. This is Jesus Christ's Olivet prophecy or sermon, given in the last week of his earthly ministry. And this is what was on the disciples' minds, his second coming and the events to unfold in the lead up to that. We've got World Watch. I think it goes on for about 4 minutes, so we might take you just a little bit over on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
One in three criminal suspects in Germany is a foreigner, even though foreigners only represent 15% of the population. Data released by the German government on August 20th shows that this figure has increased drastically since 2000. Between 2000 and 2025, the number of foreign suspects in Germany rose 232% for threats, 169% for negligent simple bodily harm, 148% for sexual offenses, 98% for pickpocketing, 77% for homicides, and 72% for violent crime. The drastic increase in crimes committed by foreigners is a primary reason why Germans are turning to former fringe political groups like the Alternative for Deutschland. As Germans fear the deterioration of their homeland, Bible prophecy reveals that they will revive their warlike nature. To learn more, read Nazism Rises Again in Germany. On August 26th, Pope Leo XIV met Lutheran bishops from Norway during a pilgrimage to Rome. He urged them to seek communion and to work with Catholics for peace and justice. He invited them to visit sites of the early Christian martyrs and said Catholics and Lutherans share baptism and a mission in the world. The Pope is trying to close a historic rift. In January 1521, Pope Leo X excommunicated Martin Luther. Catholics and Lutherans signed a joint declaration on the doctrine of justification in 1999. Major differences remain over the papacy, the sacraments, and ordained ministry. If these gaps close, the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran churches could move toward fuller communion soon. Herbert W. Armstrong, who founded the Plain Truth magazine, predecessor to the Philadelphia Trumpet, taught from the early 1930s that scriptures such as Isaiah 47 describe a coming union between Catholics and Protestants. Scriptures reveal that the old Holy Roman Empire, influenced by the Vatican, will be resurrected one last time. To understand what the Bible says about the religious system that will dominate the Western world in the last days of man's rule, read Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? Israel signed a $3.5 billion deal on August 31st to build Greece's Achilles Shield, an air defense array that will block drones, aircraft, and missiles when it becomes operational within 3 years. Greece and Israel seem like natural partners since they have a common enemy in Turkey. However, Bible prophecy warns that Israel should not trust Europe. The deal involves the export of Israel's advanced David Sling, Barak MX, and Spider surface-to-air missile systems. Israeli defense company Rafael will also build Greece a new national command and control system, Reuters reported. Rafael signed a related $30 million agreement to give Greece its drone dome system. Achilles Shield is the largest Israeli-Greek defense deal, but it's not the first. In 2022, Israeli defense company Elbit agreed to build flight schools in Greece as well as sell missiles, drones, and rocket launchers in a $1.6 billion deal. Israel is also equipping other European nations with its advanced technologies. These deals are only made with countries viewed as close allies, since they involve divulging the strengths and vulnerabilities of Israel's most advanced military technologies. The Achilles Shield Agreement exposes Israel's own Achilles heel, its reliance on technology for protection rather than on the God of Israel. To learn more, read Are Germany and Israel Truly Friends? To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.